women are changing hockey, and we're here to talk about it. This is Chell Chit Chat, and I'm your host, Liz Hood. I am super stoked about today's episode. Obviously, I could never choose a favorite guest among these 10 amazing women that are joining me for season one. But I have to say, today's topic is definitely one of my favorites. I'm going to be talking about how to do your part in growing the game. This is a topic that is near and dear to my heart, so I wanted to make sure I chose a very, very special guest for this episode. So I am over the moon to be joined by Larissa Pigdato. Larissa is from Manitoba, just like I am, but she is actually living in the Philippines right now because she is on the Filipina national hockey team that represents the Philippines at IIHF tournaments around the world. So, of course, she is an athlete, but she is also a community advocate here in Canada as well as in the Philippines for the growth of hockey. This is going to be a super fun conversation. I'm excited to learn a lot more about what Larissa does in the Philippines, what it's like playing on an international team, and then just also hear her advice and insights on how we can all be supporters of the growth of hockey. I am so glad you're here for episode 3 with Larissa Pigdato. So without further ado, let's talk about how to do your part in growing the game. Welcome to the show, Larissa. I'm so excited to have you on today. How are you doing? How excited are you to be on the first season of Chell Chit Chat?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me. I'm just living here in the Philippines, so it's been an amazing time.
I love it. For those of you who are watching on video here, you can see I'm kind of living in the dark and Larissa's got some nice sunshine. Time zones are a little bit different when you're in Canada versus the Philippines, but we made it work because we got a lot of exciting stuff to talk about today. So why don't you get us started by just telling everyone a little bit kind of about you and why I chose you as my guest, you know, to come in and talk about how to do your part in growing the game and sort of your experiences in hockey and what you do.
Yeah, so basically this whole year is me just living in the Philippines. I'm doing my eligibility year with Team Philippines here. So basically what that means is I'm living in the Philippines for about a year. And that's just so that I can have eligibility in order to play for international tournaments. So it's a very exciting year for me.
Yeah, so you mentioned international tournaments. I know this past year you played in a tournament in the United Arab Emirates, and this is your second time playing on Team Philippines. So tell us a little bit about what it means to kind of be on Team Philippines, how you got that opportunity. You know, how did you, you know, living in Winnipeg, find the opportunity to play for a team kind of in a different country, a country that, you know, your family is from? How did you kind of come about that, and what's the experience been like?
So the way that I came about this opportunity was kind of through social media, really. They had posted on Instagram. They were going to this tournament in the UAE and they were looking for players just to fill their roster in order to compete. So I ended up reaching out to them, and me and my sister, as well as another girl named Jordy, we ended up joining them for that tournament in UAE last year. And then I ended up coming back again this year, getting to play with the girls, more girls from the national team this time, and just getting to represent the Philippines. So it means a lot to be able to do that and represent my family's cultural heritage. I think is such a big thing, and I'm really proud to be able to do that.
Yeah, that's amazing. So in Winnipeg, and you know, growing up here, so you obviously played hockey growing up and stuff like that. So what was kind of your hockey journey before this as a player?
So before this, I was playing in the Manitoba Women's Junior Hockey League. I played for the Northern Stars for about 4 years. And growing up, I played in South Winnipeg, so I grew up playing for Fort Garry Flyers, South Winnipeg Kings, and eventually the Twins AA program. So yeah, that was basically where I started off.
And when you were younger and playing and stuff like that, like, how did you ever think that you were going to kind of pursue it? You know, I could speak for myself. A lot of people, when they play sports, it's something fun to do. It's a great way to make friends, stay in shape and stuff like that when you're younger. But not everyone considers pursuing it kind of in a post-secondary way in any capacity, unless you're, you know, going to school for it or something like that. Did you ever think that you were going to look for more opportunities specifically as a hockey player after, you know, your youth hockey experience was over?
I honestly thought I was done from there, but I think my love for the game has stayed with me. And when that opportunity came up with Team Philippines, I think that was such a amazing opportunity that I couldn't pass up. And getting to represent the Philippines, I don't think I ever thought that this was something that I'd be able to do. So I'm really, really grateful to be able to do this.
No, that's amazing. So you said, you know, the love for the hockey is kind of what drove you to look for more opportunities, pursue more opportunities and stuff like that. Where did that love start? Has that been in you since day one, like it is for a lot of Canadians, or is it something that you kind of came about, you know, a little bit later in life, or when did that really start for you?
Yeah, for me, I started playing hockey when I was 11. So that's considered a little bit later. So there were some girls in my grade growing up that were playing hockey. And obviously, I was close to them and I wanted to do what they were doing. And when I was 11, that was around the time of the 2010 Vancouver Olympics. So that was the year that the women's team won gold. So I remember seeing that and just getting to see the women's team win. I think that was something that really drove me and instilled this passion for the sport in me. So I think when I was around that age is when I knew that this was something that I wanted to do.
So were you a pretty quick learner? Like, were you able to get up to speed really quickly, or was there a bit of a learning curve?
There was definitely a learning curve. I remember my first year of playing hockey. I think most of the time I was just standing in front of the net. And luckily, I was on a team that was really doing very well that year. We ended up winning the season. I don't think we lost a single game. I don't know the exact stats, but we ended up winning the city championship. So even that in itself was a huge thing for me to stay with the game because obviously when you're learning, it can be very challenging, lots of mistakes, but obviously mistakes are where you learn the most. So
So when was kind of the shift in terms of, like you said, just sort of being perhaps a bit of a pylon in front of the net, sort of just trying to bang those pucks and everything, to, you know, playing in double IIHF tournaments in a women's league? Like, there's got to be a jump that you went through there at some point. When did you kind of, you know, start playing more competitively and moving into that next stage of actually being like the real deal hockey player?
I think when I started playing the junior league, because even making the jump from double A to juniors, that's a big jump in itself. There's a lot of girls in that league who are playing triple A for their U18 year. So I definitely had a wake up call in that first rookie season playing for the Stars. The game was so much faster, but I obviously loved the challenge. And I think that's where the big jump came from.
When you think about like maybe PWHL players or NHL players or anything like that, like what, give us a comparable, like what kind of player are you? Like what do you bring to the team? What makes you a good hockey player?
I would say my speed. My skating's always been one of my strongest suits and my hockey sense, I'd say. So getting to play here, I've been playing almost every position except for goalie. They've even put me on defense, which I don't normally play. In Canada, I've always been a center or a winger. So I think being able to shift between positions and being a reliable player. I'm not a flashy player either. So I think that just being reliable, being smart, I think that's something that I bring to the table.
I love that. That's awesome. So why don't you walk us a little bit through kind of what it means, sort of just your journey in general of finding out about this opportunity. Like you said, it was through social media, and then just kind of getting to the Philippines, practicing with the team and going to the tournaments. Like, just kind of walk us through what the tournament looked like and what the team kind of culture looked like and everything like that. I want to hear about that part of the journey.
Yeah, so coming to the Philippines, I didn't really know what to expect being a newcomer coming in. Right when I came in, they had started a new all-women's league here in the Philippines. So they started the Philippine Women's Hockey League. It was the first year they had about three teams, and that was such an amazing thing to walk in on. And from that, we ended up going to a tournament. So they took some girls from each of the three teams and then put together a team to take to the UAE. And that tournament, we ended up winning bronze, which was a huge thing. But I think the biggest thing was getting to meet all the girls. Most of those girls were on the national team, so I got to learn how they play, how they've been taught, and just getting to learn from them, helping them in a way by teaching them what I've learned in Canada, giving them that perspective and advice. I think that's something that's so valuable, and I'm really glad that I can be here and kind of show them the standard that they can achieve.
What are some of the similarities and differences you find between playing here and playing there? Like, are there stylistic differences in the game? Are there a lot of similarities, more similarities than you thought? Or what's kind of the, in terms of like what's similar, what's different for hockey where you are?
I would say that the biggest, or there's not a lot of differences. hockey is kind of the same wherever you go, which is something that I love. And so it's been kind of a constant for me being away from home. I think when I'm at the rink with the girls, that's where I feel the most at home. So that's been a really good thing for me to have when I'm so far away. And obviously homesickness happens when you're away from home for such an extended period of time. But the game here is pretty similar to Canada. Obviously there's room for growth, but they're on the right track towards getting to where they want to be and getting continuing to get better and better every year for the next competitions.
That's amazing to hear. When you're at these competitions and, you know, representing the Philippines, who are some of the other countries that you're playing against and that are in the same kind of stage of hockey for women's programming as the Philippines?
So for that tournament that we went to, that one, it would be the similar, they'd be the similar countries that we'd be playing against in our international competition, the IIHF one. So we competed against Iran, UAE, India, and I think Bahrain was one more. So lots of teams from the Middle East. And then eventually we're going to be playing against some other teams from Southeast Asia. So we're going to be competing in the SEA Games here in December 2025, which is a huge tournament in Southeast Asia. So that's something that we're working towards. So lots of teams internationally. So it's been interesting getting to see how hockey's played around the world.
That's awesome. Who are some of the like dark horse countries that you're like, you know, when you're playing minor hockey and stuff like that growing up, you're like, oh, like the Tuxedo team or like the River East team, you know, there are certain like areas that are like, oh, like I don't want to play against them because they're so good. Like, are there specific countries that you keep either running into or that have developed a bit of a reputation for having really strong programs?
Actually, in that tournament, we played against one team from Russia, not their national team. It was just a team from Russia. And Russia just has developed their hockey over the years. So them being in that tournament was a huge challenge for us, but we loved competing against them. They were very talented. And another team that we played against was Iran. They're known to be the biggest competitor for that upcoming tournament. So they're the team to beat for sure.
Exciting. So you kind of alluded to this, but in terms of what's next for the program or for you and stuff like that, you said this SEA Games are going to be a big tournament coming up in about a year from now. Are there other tournaments between now and then? And who's hosting that one? What's kind of on the docket for what's next for tournaments and games and everything?
Yeah, so the next games would be within the Philippines. So it's in the Philippine Minor Hockey League. There's just a team of mostly the national or soon to be national team players. So we'll be competing against other teams within the Philippines. But from there, we're just going to grow from that team, learn how to play together. And then our next tournament will be in March. So that one is our IIHF tournament. That one's the Asia and Oceania Cup. And that's where we're going to be competing against teams like Iran, UAE, India, Bahrain. And that's kind of the tournament that's in the back of our minds right now.
For sure, yeah. Are there countries that you've visited through this experience that you had never been to before? Are the countries that like you're practicing and playing and all those different things, are the countries that you've been to, or has this been like a new travel experience for you?
This has been a new travel experience for me. So I've never actually traveled as far as, well, the first one that I went to was UAE. That was the furthest that I've ever been to last year. And then I came to the Philippines. So it's been a lot of travel, lots of learning, and yeah.
So on Team Philippines, like, how's your Tagalog? Like, are you guys speaking English or are you speaking Tagalog on your team?
Mostly Taglish. So meaning they speak mostly Tagalog, but obviously with me in the room, they're going to be speaking English. But I've been picking up on some of the words here and there. And obviously I'm trying to learn. I'm trying my best to learn. I want to be able to communicate and learn my family's language, but yeah, mostly Taglish, luckily.
Nice, nice. Can you give us any hockey words in Tagalog that I don't speak a lot? Well, a lot. I don't speak any Tagalog, but are there any words? I find like hockey terminology is something that like sounds so fascinating and interesting in so many different languages. Yeah. So can you give us like a snippet?
So actually our coach, he's from Finland, but he has embraced the Filipino culture a lot. And his line for the team is that he put up on our locker room wall is mas mabilis, mas malakas, And then I forget the last one, but it means faster, stronger, smarter.
So is that mass as in like more? Like, is that kind of like the
Yeah.
maybe? Okay. Okay. Fun.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I love that. That's so neat. That's awesome. That's really cool. So your coach is from Finland. That's amazing. How did he end up coaching Team Philippines?
I believe he had been reached out to. I'm not entirely sure
I
on how
see.
he came about, but he had initially been coaching in, I think, Thailand, and before that, UAE as well. So he's been around coaching different programs. So he's brought a lot of knowledge from those and brought them to the Philippines.
That's amazing. So shifting gears back maybe a little bit more towards Winnipeg, kind of spoiler alert for those of you who maybe don't know Larissa. Larissa was one of the people who dropped the puck at Filipino Heritage Night last season with the Winnipeg Jets. In my opinion, the Winnipeg Jets have done a really good job with their cultural nights in the past few years, bringing in some really important and really special people to represent different communities. So you being one of them, for there's a huge Filipino community in Winnipeg, so that's a pretty impressive accomplishment. Can you tell us a little bit about how you got that opportunity and why they chose you to drop the puck for that game?
Yeah, it was definitely such a huge honor to be able to be chosen among so many different people within the community. They had reached out to Hannah, Jordy, and I following our last competition. I guess they had heard about us competing in that tournament internationally and representing Team Philippines. So I'm really glad that they chose us and gave us that opportunity to show achievements of Filipinos in the Philippines playing hockey. So getting to represent Team Philippines in that way, I think, was so big. And I'm glad that we got to show the Filipino community in Winnipeg what we did.
Yeah, that's amazing, because I'm sure there are lots of people that, you know, maybe didn't know that people from Winnipeg were representing the Philippines in a hockey tournament and stuff like that. So I'm sure that was really amazing. And I hope, I'm sure you guys got a lot of support from that, which is amazing. What was the evening like? You know, I think the ceremonial puck drops are something that those of us who watch hockey on TV or who go to games and watch that, we see it, you know, for the 2 minutes or 3 minutes or whatever that it's on the ice. But what was the process kind of like of, you know, being reached out to and before the game, getting prepped, making sure you're holding the puck the right way and all that fun stuff? What was the process kind of like?
It was honestly such a surreal experience. I'm really glad that we got to do that. So they had reached out to us, I think, a few months prior. And my sister Hannah had to fly in for the evening, and Jordy had driven in. They were away for school during the year, so I'm glad that they were able to join for that evening. And before we had to do, or I had to do a lot of interviews beforehand, just to kind of put the word out there that Filipino Heritage Night was happening, provide some information about what was going to be happening that evening. So doing all of that media beforehand was a lot of fun. But yeah, that whole night was amazing. I remember the first year that they did Filipino Heritage Night. It was incredible. And I couldn't believe it when I saw like the Filipino Heritage logo for the first time. I think that was, I remember the moment when I saw it. It was just so crazy. It's unbelievable.
That's awesome. And I think that signifies the importance of evenings like that, right? Have you noticed in particular, whether it be with your family or extended community or anything like that, any kind of residual effects of an evening like that? Did you learn of anyone who became more interested in hockey because of it, or who went to their first hockey game so they could watch you drop the puck or anything like that?
Yeah, I had a lot of friends who ended up buying tickets for that game, which I'm really grateful for. And my family, obviously, extended family including, came to the game. But I think the biggest thing that was, or the biggest thing that I remember was coming to Manila for the first time. I remember seeing maybe 3 or 4 Winnipeg Jets hats in the crowd, one of my coaches including wearing a Winnipeg Jets hat. So that was a crazy thing, coming to Manila and seeing my hometown's NHL team on people's hats here in Manila. So I think that's been a positive impact that that night and any Heritage Night really has on people within that community that they're honoring.
Yeah, absolutely. In terms of, you know, your involvement in hockey in Winnipeg, you also coach, right? You've been involved in the Winnipeg Jets youth programming and coaching and stuff like that, right?
Yes, I have been. For the last 3 years, I was coaching the U13 female junior Jets.
Nice. So what does that kind of look like?
So I'm the assistant coach for them. So they usually have about 2 or 3 practices a week. and I'll just join on the ice and also provide some mentorship towards them. I think the biggest thing is just being that role model for them and someone that they can go to. And I never see that as a job. I loved working with them, and I'm definitely missing working as a coach this year.
Have there been any opportunities for you in the Philippines to assist with any younger programming?
So yeah, I've been coaching here in the Philippines. So that's about once a week, and it's coaching people with ages ranging from the early teens to adult, and levels ranging also. So that's been, I'm glad that I've been able to keep up with coaching here.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's one of those things that when people, whether you're studying abroad or you move to a new place for a new job or something, finding those extracurricular things that you can do that sort of fill your bucket, I think is so important. So I'm really glad to hear that you've been able to do that because I'm coaching for the first time this year as well, and I love it so much.
Awesome.
It's so amazing. So I totally understand if I were to, go somewhere else, I would want to find a way to continue to stay involved in those sorts of areas and stuff. So
Yeah.
looking at, kind of, you've coached and you were able to represent the Philippines at Filipino Heritage Night and stuff like that, I kind of want to circle back to kind of the main topic of this particular episode and just talking about kind of growing the game. What are some of the most important parts of what you found you've been able to do for the community, whether it's, being perhaps visual representation for people who, don't always see as many women or women of color in hockey, or if it's conversations you've been able to have? What are some of the most important impacts you think you've had in, whether it be Winnipeg or even the Philippines, in terms of growing the game of hockey?
Yeah, I think that the biggest thing is that representation matters. So especially with Filipino Heritage Night, I remember growing up, obviously, I never saw people that looked like me, girls who looked like me on the ice or playing hockey. So I'm really glad that I can be that person for them. Even with coaching, I'm glad that I can be that person. Obviously, there's a lot of kids from different backgrounds, so I'm glad that I can provide that opportunity for them to connect. Maybe with someone that they see themselves in. So.
That's amazing, and I think we're seeing a lot of that in terms of the growth of hockey in general and stuff like that. So what are some of the things that have been super important to you in terms of, actions you've wanted to take in order to continue to be the representation for people?
So I've been trying to provide more exposure to hockey here in the Philippines. So I've been posting a lot on my Instagram, both on my personal page, and then I also made a page for to sort of document my time here in the Philippines. So just trying to show people that there is hockey in the Philippines and show them how much it's growing. Obviously, this year they've had the growth and addition of a women's league and success in international tournaments in the most recent years. So just giving them that exposure and showing that the Philippines is on the right path towards having success in the sport.
What do you think some of the big next steps and milestones are for hockey in the Philippines, or even hockey for the Filipino community in Canada or North America or where have you, that, whether they are things they should be trying to achieve or things that they are actively working on and that are set milestones publicly and stuff like that? What's kind of the next step that you see for this different programming?
Yeah, for hockey in the Philippines, it would be again the exposure. They're trying to post more on social media and obviously getting us to share those posts. So, giving them that exposure so that we can eventually get some sponsorships from the government here in the Philippines so that we can use that towards trainings and to go towards tournaments that we can go to internationally. As for the Filipino community in Winnipeg, I know that there's a lot of opportunities for kids to try hockey. So that's a huge thing that is so important, and giving them that opportunity to see if they like skating.
In terms of, whether it be for the next generation of people coming through, or what do you think some of the bigger barriers are for, these programs to achieve their next steps and get to the next level?
For one of the bigger barriers here in the Philippines, it would be the funding. We know hockey is an expensive sport to play, and it's so much more different here with equipment not being as readily available as in Canada, where you can just go to any hockey store, really. Here in the Philippines, there's no hockey stores, so they either have to ship it from Canada, US, Japan, and that comes with a lot of overseas shipping fees. So that's been a big thing, and also lack of funding from the government. But I think that is something that can change if we continue to improve and get better and show our results through those international tournaments. So those barriers are definitely something that can be broken, and Hockey Philippines is definitely working towards making the situation better for everyone in the programs.
That's really exciting to hear. And do you find that Hockey Philippines is, in your opinion, are they looking at other countries and trying to emulate what they're doing? Are there other countries that are doing a really good job that they're trying to kind of model themselves after? Or would you say that the Philippines is themselves maybe more of a model country that other people are following in the footsteps of their programming? Or where do you think they fall in terms of like watching what other countries are doing and trying to bring hockey to their countries?
Yeah, I think we're trying to learn from other Asian countries who are competing at a higher level. So that being like China, Japan, they're competing, I think, in the same division as Canada and the US, if I'm not mistaken.
It might be, yeah.
They're definitely a team that we try to be like. They're obviously further ahead in their training, but that's something that we want to try and be like for sure.
Do you think, you know, maybe this is a little bit optimistic, or maybe this is a little bit of a tough question, but do you foresee the Philippines, you know, in maybe 5, 10, 15 years being able to compete at that highest level? Do you think they're on the right trajectory to do so?
I think they're definitely on the right trajectory, and there is the potential. One of the biggest things with me being here, I want to be able to show the girls within the national training pool, kind of set the standard for them for what training, how they should take training, and how they can improve every day. But yeah, I think that they're definitely on the right track towards getting to where they want to be and competing at the next level.
That's exciting. That's always what, you know, you want to hear about other countries. Hockey has been pretty heavily dominated in the last, you know, well, forever, right? By a couple core nations in Northern Europe and North America and stuff like that. So it's really exciting. And the game gets better the more people know how to play it and the more people are available to participate in it. So that's really exciting. In terms of you and you know, your next steps, how long are you planning on staying in the Philippines? How long are you planning on being kind of involved as a player in this program? And you know, when that part is done, what's next for you in terms of how you want to continue to stay involved in hockey?
So I'm here for my eligibility year. So that will probably end just after our tournament in the UAE at the Asia Oceania Cup. So I'll probably come home after that, obviously train throughout the summer, and then come back to the Philippines to train again for SEA Games next year. And I'd like to keep coming back and competing with the team as much as I can while I can. But looking towards the future, I want to provide mentorship to girls in Winnipeg, in my hometown, obviously, and show them what they can achieve. Because this was something that I never thought I'd be able to do. But when I want to prove to them that when you put your mind towards something and you have a passion for something, that you can really achieve anything.
I feel like that's always really, really important advice to not just tell to the next generation, but to show and be like, you know, I'm also working on this, and this is how I'm going to help you get there. And, you know, not just speaking it, but kind of doing it. What were some of the resources that you had growing up that helped you believe that these sorts of things were possible, and like those sorts of things that you want to model yourself as a mentor afterwards?
I think my biggest thing was having a supportive family and supportive friends. So they were always telling me to, they never really held me back from this opportunity in particular, but really any opportunity that I've ever had, they've always told me to go after it. So yeah, I think just being surrounded by people who support me, really pushing me towards my potential, and really taking every opportunity that came.
That's amazing. I think those support networks can help, not just in sport, but just everything in life, you know, having people around you, whether it be family, coworkers, friends, academic people, stuff like that. It's really amazing. So then in terms of you, like career-wise and stuff, actually, Larissa and I met through the Manitoba Moose Job Shadow Program. We were in the Women in Sport cohort that got to attend a Manitoba Moose game, meet some people within the True North Sports and Entertainment Organization, learn about the operations of the hockey team and stuff like that in the spring of 2024, which was really, really cool. That's how we first connected. And if I recall from that, you have a degree in athletic therapy from the University of Winnipeg, right?
Yes, I graduated in June, actually.
Amazing. Well, congratulations. June 2024 grads rise up together. So what's the plan with the athletic therapy degree? Is that kind of what you want to pursue right now? Is that what you're looking for career-wise? Or through these different experiences you had in the last little while, have you kind of pivoted in terms of what you're kind of aspiring to do? Or where are you kind of at in terms of, like, maybe this is like a job interview question, but, like, you know, your big next few years or whatever in terms of career stuff?
Yeah, I definitely enjoyed my time and obviously had a passion for athletic therapy. I really enjoyed learning about everything within that program. But with the opportunities that have come up in the last few years and being able to represent my heritage, I've learned the importance of sort of doing that kind of work. So I'd like to keep exploring that and working towards continuing to do that sort of thing.
And those are the true community heroes, I think, that really, you know, put the emphasis on the sorts of stuff they see the impact of, whether it be programming or representation or different things like that, and saying, this is how it needs to continue to grow, and I'm going to be the person that's going to help propel that, I think is super admirable and important. So all the power to you. I'm super excited to see what you do with that. This is kind of like my thing with the ends of these Chalcha Chat episodes. Obviously, everyone has come on here and shared some amazing stories, amazing advice, amazing insights on the different topics. They all start with a how-to. This is a resource for people who are looking to support women in sport who are looking for new careers, all sorts of things like that. This episode is all about how to do your part in growing the game. So I want to hear your Chalcha Chat. So your little chat. What is your kind of advice, your key takeaway, the most important part of this kind of episode that you want to hone in for people listening, just about how to, in fact, do that? If someone were to ask, how can I do my part in growing the game? What is the piece of advice that you want everyone to go home with?
I think the biggest thing would be exposure. So with me in particular, with Hockey Philippines and Filipinos in hockey, just having that in the back of my mind and making sure that I'm telling people around me, especially back home, that there's hockey in the Philippines, that there's people here that are just as passionate as people in Winnipeg or people in Canada, letting them know that love for hockey is all around the world and making it known to everyone that hockey is here in the Philippines and it has the potential to grow.
And how would you recommend that people learn about this, not just even in the Philippines, but in other countries as well, right? Outside of the traditional ones that you think of when you think of international hockey. How can people find out about the things going on? How can they advocate for things going on, support things going on? Like, would you say that social media is the best way to do that? Or how do you kind of get connected and learn more about these things?
Yeah, I think I'd say social media would be the best one, especially living in the age of social media and everything being posted online. Hockey Philippines does have Instagram accounts. So just making sure to follow those. There are some international competitions coming up. So the men's team will be traveling to Mexico, actually. So you can follow along on their journey and see how they do in their competition there. And then we'll be traveling to UAE in April as well. So scores will be posted on Hockey Philippines and live stream links as well. So it would be very cool for people around the world and in Winnipeg to support us and our teams here in Manila.
Awesome. Well, I will certainly be tuning in. I clicked on some of those streams last year when you were in the United Arab Emirates, tuned in. And it was really fun to watch, you know, seeing the flags that you don't always see on the traditional IIHF hockey scoreboards. It's amazing to see. In terms of just kind of your, you know, perfect world vision and stuff like that, what is your hope for what, you know, the growth of hockey around the world, locally within different communities, and just in terms of people who maybe aren't as involved in hockey and stuff like that? What is your vision and what do you hope to see in terms of the growth of hockey?
I will say that I really love that the NHL and the Jets in particular are doing Heritage Nights. I think it's so important to celebrate different communities within each of the NHL cities. I think that's something that's so, so, so important, especially in today's age, and recognizing, especially in Winnipeg, it's such a diverse community. So seeing South Asian Heritage Night, Ukrainian Night, Filipino Night, I think that's such a huge thing, and Winnipeg should really be proud of the fact that we're doing that.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for joining me today on episode 3 here of Chalcha Chat. It's been so interesting to learn from you about what hockey looks like kind of outside of the small, narrow scope of what I and a lot of other people are familiar with here in North America. It's really awesome and exciting to hear how different countries are continuing to grow and excel and how there is potential for this to become, you know, a sport much like many others around the world that has representation in all 195 or whatever the exact number is countries around the world. Thank you so much for taking the time, Larissa. It has been a pleasure chatting with you today on Chelcha Chat.
Thank you so much for having me. It was so fun.
Thank you everyone for tuning in, and if you're listening on podcasts, if you're watching on YouTube, if you're just checking out clips here on social media, whatever it is, we thank you so much for your support. Thank you for tuning in. We will be back for episode 4 very shortly. That's another exciting one that we have on the docket. Full season still left ahead of season 1 of Chel Chit Chat. Thank you so much for tuning in so far, and make sure you follow, like, subscribe, rate, whatever the positive things are you can do on the way out. We always appreciate it. Thank you so much everyone, and we will see you next time.